Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk now to a gentleman by the name of Frank Cogley, who has got a tragic story to tell us about his beautiful son, who he lost at 34. Hello, Frank.
Hello, Peter.
Frank, the floor's yours. Tell us what happened.
Last year, April the 9th, the actual night of the Grand National, though Tim hadn't been there, our youngest son, Tim, just 34, and a strapping 6'5" lad, the youngest of our four sons, fit as a fiddle, played six-a-side soccer 2-3 times a week. If he wasn't playing soccer, he'd keep fit in the gym. Good diet, no problem, no medical history of any concerns whatsoever. Way home that evening, left his friends, appeared to be just as he normally was. Still living with us, Pete, by the way, at 34. He had a nice bachelor pad with us here.
Mm-hmm.
And less than half a mile from home, suddenly collapsed. He suffered a massive heart attack. And I suppose the wrong thing, he managed to stagger up from that, having cut himself as he fell, managed to stagger up from that. And instead of coming down the main road, as was his norm, he actually, being confused after what was happening, he managed to get another 200 metres down the side road in Heswell here, and collapsed over a low wall. And he wasn't actually found for over 4 hours later.
Right.
And effectively, when the ambulance came for him, they'd seen a cut and thought that it was going to be a trauma issue, and whipped him across to Aintree, to the trauma unit at Aintree. But effectively, I think he was dead as he arrived at the hospital. So it was a massive heart attack, or a series of them, that was triggered, we discovered, in the post-mortem by a 75% blockage, cholesterol blockage of his left descending artery. And that's what triggered the heart attack and took him off.
Is this a common thing, Frank?
Well, you probably know, P, from all the media reports, there's at least 12 under 35-year-olds dying each week from undiagnosed heart conditions. Now, some, as in the case of a number of the young sportsmen that you probably have heard of, they're the victims of cardiomyopathy, which is a heart muscle disease. And some, as in the case of Tim, it's a heart attack triggered by this cholesterol blockage. Now, strangely enough, one of my nephews is a pretty eminent consultant over in Sydney, Australia. His wife, likewise, is a consultant. And they both told us, they'd been with us not a month or so before Tim died, they told us that they've actually come across cases with 95% blockage of cholesterol blockage.
Wow.
And no symptoms, as with Tim, no symptoms. Appears to be fit as a fiddle, no problems, and then bang.
The awful thing about this, Frank, which is to get a lad like that and just to have no hint of it at all, the grieving process is even worse. It's bad enough losing somebody, but losing somebody like that, I can't imagine what you've all gone through.
No, and it continues, of course, for all the family and all the friends. He had an absolute legion of friends, of the most wonderful, supportive and faithful group of people you could imagine. And he used to joke with his mum, Sheila, and myself about, don't worry about me, I'm fit as a fiddle, there's nothing to worry about, don't think I'm overdoing it with my six aside.
Yeah.
And he'd stand there in front of us and pretend he was flexing his muscles to show just how fit he was. And he said, I've got lots of friends that we all look after each other as well. And we said, oh, yeah, you mean Facebook friends? He said, no, genuine friends. And when we had the funeral here in Heswell, it was the most incredible scene. There were over 600 people turned up. The church was packed out. There were over 100 outside. And the police actually had to stop the traffic for the cortege. And similarly, when we had the reception afterwards. But all those friends, together with the family, determined we'd do something positive. The grieving is horrendous, and we want to try and avoid other families going through what we are going through, but determined that we're going to do something positive and enduring in Tim's name.
And you've set a charity up?
We set up, it's quite a mouthful, Pete. It's called the Tim Cogley Cardiac Screening Foundation. But to get by Charity Commission, to get HMRC, Tax Authority for Gift Aid purposes, to set up the gift aid arrangement with a My Donate, it's called, to get all those pieces in place, there is a great deal of formality to be gone through. So there was a lot to be done before we've even reached the stage we're at now. I think finally we got those three major aspects in place by about May. And the friends and people we don't know, all sorts of people, have been so generous in supporting us with fundraising events and continue to support us. So we're able now to get to this first stage of a pilot launch.
Frank, what is the money being used for? Where's the money going?
Well, there's two aspects. Principally at the moment, it's cardiac screening, so heart screening, for the age group 18 to 39-year-olds who are resident on Merseyside. So it covers the Merseyside city region, if you like, the Liverpool city region, the six authority areas. It picks up men and women who have not already been under the attention of their doctors or hospital appointments, so nobody who's already got a condition that's been diagnosed. And it provides a full screening process. Where I actually do some part-time advisory work at Liverpool Hope University on teacher education, we were in discussions with a well-known global healthcare diagnostic company that, shall we say, is well-known in Liverpool and has a very close relationship with the Grand National. But I know I shouldn't name them.
No, you can mention them. You can mention them.
Great, then. It's Randox Health, who have been absolutely brilliant.
Oh, no, you can mention them. We just don't want to mention them over and over again. But yes,
no, okay. Well, they've been brilliant, and we've actually struck an incredibly good and generous package with them, which gives a full screening, a 15-minute session, which requires the young people who are eligible and in that age group, and I'll explain why we chose that age group in a moment, but what it does, the screening process, is through Randox's team that bring across a mobile screening unit, so it's the size of a transit van, and they undertake, after a six-hour fast, so there's a bit of pre-work have to be done, first of all, by some fasting.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure it's worthwhile. And it's venous sampling then, venous blood tests. And they will then have tests not only for blood pressure, but a full body assessment, and then the screening will reveal the level of cholesterol in the body. It will reveal whether there's any diabetes issue. It will also determine kidney health.
Yeah.
At the end of this, the company will produce online for the client, because they don't provide a backup health service after that, so properly they're called clients. They get a report online, which, and we hope they would, if there are any conditions that are revealed, they go and share with their own GP.
Yeah, right.
Now, why we choose that group, if I might go on, Pete, is because National Health Service, most wonderful service that we enjoy in this country, and we know they have tough times, but we still sing their praises from the rooftops. Brilliant, but they can't get young people through the door, knocking on the door, saying, can I have a screening or an MOT service?
Right.
And they don't routinely offer such a screening for that age group. You see notices when you go into med centres, you see notices, 40-year-old and upwards. Have your blood pressure checked, do this, do that. But they don't routinely cover the age group 18 to 39.
Right.
So that's the back cloth, that's the background. The second aspect as well, or our second objective in the charity, is to try and raise awareness of the importance of looking after your heart. Healthy heart, and then you've got a good chance for a good life. So we're looking to promote over time education programs and raising the awareness, the alertness of young people and their mums and dads to the importance of a good balanced lifestyle and keeping a healthy heart. So those two aspects, screening and enhancement of understanding. Those are the two aspects of this charity.
Frank, how can people find out more about it?
Well, if they look at our website, So the Tim Cogley Cardiac Screening Foundation, or Hearts, and they look in and see Tim Cogley Foundation, or our Facebook site, they'll find the link on that, the gift, get the background, they find the link to making a phone call to book a slot, which is a very brief word on the phone, just checking one or two of those facts about eligibility, and then they're asked to complete a pre-screening questionnaire, mm-hmm. which gives a good background as well. Then they will see on a whole load of leaflets I've been distributing, starting to distribute, that this is the first of our areas to be covered. It's the pilot process. We're deliberately tackling this on Wirral to begin with, because that's where Tim was best known. Yeah. I can then extrapolate data from that, and we can then use the data to analyze how much we need to raise and what the likely take-up is. They will be given information about the different venues, the different times of the day and the different days of the week on which these screenings will yeah. take place.
Great.
It all starts on November the 1st, Thursday, November the 1st, and it runs through to the 1st of December. There are 12 different days, but we probably, as a maximum, will have about 230 individual sessions capable of being booked this time out of the level of interest. I suspect we'd be overbooked, in which case we ask people to indicate that they want to be kept on the list yeah. for future sessions that we will certainly offer as the money comes in. We will certainly offer future sessions, not only here if it needs more on the Wirral, but across Liverpool, which will be probably an early-ish target area for us in the new year. But all the details can be found initially through the website. And I have to say, we've got incredible backing. One of our sons, Jeremy, who is a medical doctor but a lecturer at Liverpool Hope University, he devised the protocol. And we've shared it and consulted with GP practices across the area, including in Liverpool, just one or two in Liverpool to start with, but a number of practices here on Wirral, with the NHS on Wirral, and with some brilliant consultant cardiologists, notably Professor John Summerew, who happens also to be Liverpool Football Club's cardiologist. So we've had some brilliant Fantastic. And continuing support and guidance on what we're doing.
Frank, what would Tim say?
Well, I think he'd be flabbergasted that we've managed to achieve this much so far, because you start off with a dream, Pete, as you know, and you hope it's realised. But when I know the determination that his friends tell us that Tim had to tackle very difficult issues and to support friends who are in difficulty, I think, as we Scousers would say, be really made up.
Absolutely. How can people donate money?
Well, on the website again, the link is there to, it's called My Donate, and it's a BT service, which is free. And we scrutinise the sites that would not charge us anything for enabling fundraising. So that's one side, because that facilitates gift aid as well, Pete.
Yeah, fantastic. Frank, thank you so much. Tell us again what it's called.
It's the Tim Cogley Cardiac Screening Foundation. And I'm ever so grateful, Pete, for your time, and it's great to speak with you.